Welcome to Awakenings Movement Podcast. Awakenings Movement is a community where dreamers become believers and believers become doers.
So we're starting a new series this month. Excuse me while I get the mic on. We're starting a new series this month, and it is my honor and privilege to get to work alongside, do you hear that?
Hello!
It's my honor and privilege to work along with an amazing poet as we start this series. And one of the things that he said, I don't know if this is exactly what Nine said to me, but when we found out that we would be working together, he basically told me that I'm lucky to get to work with him. That's basically what he said. So we all join me in welcoming Nine to the stage.
What's up, guys? Good morning. So, I'll be rocking with you guys for a couple weeks. I normally don't read poems out of my book, but this poem's not finished, so I just keep writing on it, you know what I'm saying? So, bear with me. Just get into it. Here we go. We're damaged goods delivered to famished people. The darker hue of apartheid we get as innocent as Doc McStuffins, but as intense as race riots. We are stopped and frisked, Freddie Gray, enraged and enslaved in the same sentence. A picture from 1949 and 2016 is no difference. The image, a black man hanging from a bridge in Atlanta. We are resilience from dependence, independent business owners, victims of church burnings and church murders. We are lovers to the ones that need love, fighters to the ones that need their butt beat, embraces to the ones that need a hug. We are hungry and struggling, yet shot over nothing, over Skittles, over CDs, over sweet tea, over running, over and over, overworked, undervalued, the backbone of this republic, the reason why democracy is a word and not political lifestyle considered hostile even when shedding tears. We are the envy of the people in influential positions. Oh, how they see the downtrodden and imprisoned when we should be praised and uplifted. We are culture, same color, different parts of the world, all kinds of oppressors, but same struggle. We are pop culture, from rock and roll to hitting the juju. We are people, aunties, uncles, sisters, brothers, mothers, and cousins. Darwinism at its finest, evolved from stops and frisks to harass and search to sit-ins and boycotts. The stand your ground law do not apply to you unless you're stood over, overstood, overwhelmed, underfunded. We are gentrified over money. We live on land that was never ours and buildings that don't belong to us. We are minorities, the minority, the target of authority, the envy of the majority. We are indigenous. We are glory, overstood, underfunded, killed in public, over nothing, overwhelmed, undercutted, damaged goods to famished people.
Come on, Kevin. Thank you, Nine. So there may be some truth to what he said. I am lucky, fortunate, to get to follow up with that, or follow up you with this. So as I mentioned, we are starting a new series this month, and my hope is that we'll be able to take those labels and those words that we just heard and start to change our vocabulary at the end of all of this. And so that's what we're gonna get into today. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Okay, y'all, I'm just gonna be very candid today. I've never used this clicker before. So if it goes too fast, too slow, the wrong direction, y'all just bear with me. Sound good? All right, so here we go. Let's read our mission and core values together. So these are the things that everything, regardless of the space that we're in, that we use to filter what we're putting out into the world. So let's read the mission together. Ready? Read. We catalyze human flourishing by cultivating spaces where people excavate divine purpose, incubate transformation, and inspire action for good. And our core values?
Innovation, authenticity, and beauty.
Scarcity and abundance. So this is what we're going to be moving into and exploring over the next couple of weeks, few weeks. My intention is to allow us time to reflect on the thoughts and beliefs that have shaped our current relationship, specifically with money, because it's something that we can all relate to. But I think as we get into this, you'll see that this idea of scarcity and abundance don't just apply to money, they apply to our time and other resources that we have. So what we'll work towards is reframing that relationship and redirecting the energy we put into the chase for more towards sufficiency as the path to abundance. So the flow for today, we will talk about comfort and being uncomfortable. So we'll find comfort in being uncomfortable. We'll take a look at kings. We will reveal to heal. We'll talk about the struggle and money myths. And then we will end with energy, intention, and where we're headed. So, comfortable being uncomfortable. I'm going to be talking about money today. And so for a lot of us, myself included, that can be a very uncomfortable thing to talk about. It's not something that we actually talk about openly. And so I want to change that mindset. I want to change the conversations that we have around money. And then also, this is no secret that Awakenings is a not-for-profit organization. There is always an opportunity at the end of anything or somewhere within what we're doing to sow into that. And so I don't want to confuse this message as leading towards the offering moment. What I am trying to do is address a cultural vocabulary and myths that we have applied around money. So I just want to talk to the elephant in the room. There will be an opportunity to offer at the end of this, but this series is not about that specific moment. So we'll take a look at kings. Let's see. Sam, will you read this for us? So we're actually going to be looking at a few verses from Kings. So as you read, I'll advance.
One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead. You know how he feared the Lord. Now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except this last bit of olive oil," she replied. Elisha said, "Borrow as many instant jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind them. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside in peace." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was filled with bread. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more," he told her, and the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, she said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on with what is left."
Thank you. Would you all join me for a word of prayer? God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, to gather, to explore, and to learn in your name. God, we thank you that before all of creation, you have called us enough, you have called us sufficient, and you have called us to move into a life of abundance. So God, as we sit here in this new space, renew our mind, remind us of who we are. It's with open hearts and with open minds, and in Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, Sam, thank you for reading that. So, speaking of kings, a couple days ago.
Yeah, right?
This Jay-Z, okay, what? I feel old. Do you say dropped a new album? Is that what you say? Is that right? Yeah, Russell gave me a thumbs up. Okay, so Jay-Z dropped a new album. And if you subscribe to Tidal or a Sprint customer, you can hear it. I am not, so this is me, basically. Anybody else? This is how this meme represents my experience, right? So reading y'all Jay-Z lyric tweets, trying to imagine how the songs sound since I don't have titles, right? So this is something that I don't have, but I do have Twitter, and so I was able to see some of these lyrics. And one of the lyrics that stood out to me as it relates to this idea of scarcity and abundance is you can't heal what you don't reveal. So I don't think that it's appropriate for me to stand here and talk about abundance and scarcity without revealing a couple of things, and specifically my experience with money. So growing up, mostly in a single parent household, my mom raised me. My associations and memory with money were ones of, there was never enough, right? So we lived paycheck to paycheck, and the paychecks were never enough to cover what we needed to cover. So I can specifically remember becoming of age and knowing that my mom was struggling to pay bills. I can remember her using a Sears credit card one year to buy my school clothes, knowing that you know, that she wouldn't have the money to pay that bill when it came. So I also remember the phone ringing from the bill collectors who wanted their money. So growing up, my experience with money was there was never enough. You had to struggle to get it. It doesn't grow on trees, right? And so as I grew and am growing older, I'm starting to shift how I'm viewing it, how I'm viewing money specifically. And a couple of years ago, I decided to get intentional about what I was doing with my money. There's a couple of handouts that Dominique has, and we'll go through this pretty quickly. But what we want to do is think about what our own money story reveals. So some questions to help you do that. What do you remember hearing about money when you were growing up? Write down your childhood memories related to money. Use three words to describe my childhood thoughts about money. And those three words you'll share with somebody who's sitting next to you. And then let's think about how these memories have shaped our relationship to money now. And use three words to describe our thoughts about money now. Any questions? All right, so Dominique and Dorian are gonna help pass out the pens and paper, and Russell's gonna get us some tunes going. So after you write down, at least get to your three words, just talk and share those three words with a partner. Thank you. partner with your, share, let's do this, share your three words to describe your childhood thoughts, and also share the three words to describe your thoughts now. Share some of what you heard. Like, what words have you heard from your partners?
Unaware.
Unaware?
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
I put ask and receive.
Ask and receive. Okay.
Blessed.
Bless.
Slips through hands.
Ooh, yeah. Slips like water, right? Like sand. Your three words, or what you heard your partner say.
Spin, scramble, and...
Like eggs. Spin, scramble, and what?
Covet.
All right. Anything else?
Stress.
Who's, what'd you say, Naya? Own. Flip.
Not enough money.
Not enough. Don't have it. What did you say?
Tithing.
Okay.
Maintain.
Can't get enough.
Invest.
Independent.
Well, no,
dependent. Okay. Bills. Anybody got bills to pay in here?
Can't.
Oh, build. I can't. Sorry. I need to like. So here's what we need. We need someone that goes around with the mic like they do on the talk shows. Like, what did you say? All right. So, great. Thank you guys for sharing. So a lot, we've heard some terms in, some words in terms of like blessed, and we've heard some terms that describe it like flowing and not enough, right? So we've heard a lot. What did you hear? So I want to take those words, right, and talk about struggles and myths. So we've shared quite a bit, and thank you guys for that. So here's another meme that I saw related to Jesus' new album, right? Some of y'all need to be worried about that 444 credit score, though, right? But it's a good representation of how we view money, how we view credit, right? Which I will go on the record of saying I am not pro-credit. When I paid off my debt, it included my credit cards. I'd never plan on opening another credit account ever again in my life, amen. But I thought this is a good representation of like what we associate, right, with our struggle. So we have an unconscious relationship with money that is rooted in fear, worry, and scarcity. True? Money has become a way to measure our worth. Scarcity says what we have is who we are. Abundance will remain elusive if we think it will come from an excessive amount of something. So this idea of like, if I just get more, if I just get more, well, if you are always trying to get more, you will never experience abundance. Make sense? Okay. So part of the truth communication, this series, a book that I read is called The Soul of Money. It's by an author named Lynn Twist, and I will touch on some of what she touches on, but I highly recommend it if you're wanting to shift the way that you view money. So I listened to it on audiobook and took some notes. And Lynn shares three money myths. The first is somewhere. Ah, here we go. Okay, that there's not enough. Well, it's the computer back there, yeah. So I'm like jumping over JJ's head and back to JR. Yeah, thank you, JJ. Give it a little boost up over, thank you. So the first myth is that there's not enough. How many times do we start our day from a place of not enough? So if we suspend money for a little bit, anybody wake up today and think like, oh God, I didn't get enough sleep? JJ, all right. Yeah. Who is thinking about like, I'm in church today and I don't have enough time to do the things that I need to do to get ready for tomorrow, right? So it's not just money. Like when we wake up in the morning, we are already telling ourselves that we are insufficient in various areas of funds, right? You see what I did there? Okay. So Lynn Swift says this, we do work we don't love because of this myth. Once we define our world and life as deficient, everything we do becomes an expression of an effort to overcome this sense of lack. Deficiency and fear reflect how we control our lives. Oh, go back, sorry. The second myth is more is better. So more is better is a logical response if you fear there's not enough. This drives greed and heightens fears and distances us from experiencing the value of what we already have because our focus is on what's next. So as a result, we lose out on experiencing what we have now, and it's a chase with no end. In the mindset of scarcity, even too much is not enough. Three is that's just the way it is. So this myth has the most resonance because you can always make a case for it. This is where the resignation to scarcity and hopelessness sets in. And this myth will prevent us from contributing time and energy, our gifts and talents and finances toward making a difference. This is the mindset that protected the early American slave trade. It's just the way it is. Ooh. All right, I'm going the wrong way. This one?
Yeah.
This myth enables exploitation. It causes us to abandon our own human potential along with the possibility of contributing to a thriving and healthy world. Okay, we can do that. We can share this. If we look at those myths, right, so now I want to take us in a different direction and look at our energy, intention, and where we're headed. Money is not the problem. Our problem, or our interpretation of money, is the problem. Money is not a product of nature. It's an invention, and we began to relate to it as if it's a force of nature. The power of money is derived from the intention we give it and the integrity in which we direct it into the world. Go back. I'm here we go. Okay. JJ, give it a list. You're welcome. All right, so money only has the value that we assign it. And some of this, I'll say this, if you are disagreeing with what I'm presenting, then that's fine, but I ask that you stay open and just let us get through this series and then see how you feel at the end of the series. So this is just a snippet from a paragraph that I saw about Jay-Z's new album, and it was accusing him. I guess there's been some accusations that he's selling out because he has like these corporate names tied to the music that he's releasing. So this article said these deals are the product of the opposite: a person carefully, meticulously, and brilliantly turning his very identity into a brand, one that has transcended his industry. Jay-Z hasn't sold out. Companies have bought in. So what I want us to focus on, what I want us to see is that we don't have to be Jay-Z to be able to do this, but we can learn from being careful and meticulous because that shows that he has intention with what he's putting out in the world, and he's controlling where it goes, and he's controlling the direction and the energy behind it, right? So if we look at money, if we stop for a moment in this space, if we stop thinking of money as paper or coins as it is, and think of it as an exchange of energy, the energy behind it matters. So if you, so for example, I was talking to Kiana and Keisha the other night, and Keisha is an entrepreneur. I am working to grow a business myself from my home. I don't have a paycheck coming in from a corporation anymore. And Kiana was telling us, she was teary-eyed, and she was telling us, like, thank you guys. I'm not sure what Keisha bought, but I bought a t-shirt. She was saying, you know, thank you guys for, like, your purchases. And she's saying, like, you know, I can't believe, she said, I can't believe you're spending your entrepreneur money on this. So in other words, she was saying, like, I know that you don't have paychecks coming in from a corporation, and the fact that you took your money that you're earning and spent it on me meant a lot to her. So that money, you know, that I spent is because I believe in her, right? And that's not to say that there aren't other ways that we can sow into and believe people, but that illustrates, like, Kiana sees that money as belief, as blessing, like it has purpose and intention. And when I spent it with purpose and intention because I do believe in her. I believe in all y'all. But I don't have money at this time to buy everything, so I will sow into everybody in other ways. But I want you to see that, the energy, like she actually felt that. So if we think of money as like as water, right? It either flows, and it can flow with the energy of love, hurt, commitment, right? There's a lot of bad things that have been done with money. And then if we think of water, when it becomes blocked, it gets stagnant, infested, and toxic. So I know some of you might be thinking like, yeah, well, my money is just a little trickle. Like, this isn't a waterfall that we're talking about here, right? But it still has the ability to flow, right? And we have to be intentional with the energy and the direction that it goes. We spend our energy on the chase for more and completely miss the point of having enough. Right, so we skip over this point of sufficiency because we're spending our energy towards like, I need more, I need more. When our attention is on what we lack, that becomes the song that we sing. So that's why I want to look at the words that we use to describe our money differently and start changing our vocabulary around it. Some of that vocabulary looks like this. Scarcity speaks in terms of, let's read these together. So let's go down the left column and then we'll move over to the right. Ready? Never enough.
emptiness, fear, mistrust, envy, greed, hoarding, competition, fragmentation, separateness, judgment, striving, entitlement, control, busy, survival.
Did we hear any of those words when we shared what our partners said, right? Yeah. So what I hope that we start to do is start to shift that vocabulary, and we'll look at what sufficiency and abundant vocabulary sounds like. Not today, but we will get there. So if we redirect our energy and ground it in sufficiency, sufficiency meaning taking a look at what we have, and we have some excellent examples in this room of people that have done that and built businesses from it, Ella being one of them. So we'll look more closely at sufficiency in the coming weeks and how that is the path to abundance. So we don't skip over what we have and try to get more. We look at what we have as the way to get more and redirect that energy. So we are going to move into communion. Do you want to do the offering before or after, Woody? Sage is knocked out, y'all. She's like,
All right, night, night.
But while we're getting ready for communion, I'll talk about the offering moment, right? So I'm not trying to pull a magic trick and change the name of the offering moment and call it a moment of intention, right? What I am wanting us to do and to see is that the resources that we have, whether it's our time, finances, love, energy, right? All of those things, we have the power to control where they go. And so if you are in this room, it is simply an invitation, as it always has been, to sow into what Awakenings Movement is doing. But when you sow into it today, instead of thinking of it as writing out something on a piece of paper, an amount, or, you know, dropping physical dollars in, think of the energy that you are sowing into, and with your contribution and the ways that you have seen it appear in the world, right? So we'll move into communion, and then you want to do the offering officially after that? Okay. All right, so Danielle and Sage, y'all give it up for Danielle and Sage.